You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. Nathan Segura, Matt Wilhelm, Jason Gibbs with you here on CBD. Hour number two coming your way. And of course, we're going to talk a little bit about, as we told you, the offseason rules and what it means for quarterbacks. Very good article by Matt Bowen today. And Gibbs, I know you came across this and thought it was something we should talk about. What was it about this that stood out to you, brother?
Yeah, I just, again, we continue our search for the Holy Grail, known as the franchise quarterback. And the last thing I think we need is to have our guys struggle to pick up stuff because of stupid off-season rules. And I've always thought a lot of these off-season rules are just that they're stupid. I don't like the things put in place. I don't like, you know, you can't hit people, you can't tackle people, you can't do anything. It's don't touch. You know, it's all little sissy off-season ball. And I just, you know, again, it's one of those things. I take a look at it and I go, why is, you know, we're trying to get our guys ready for the season. And if we're not feeling like they're prepared because the rules are prohibiting it, then it needs to be addressed, and it needs to be addressed in a much bigger fashion.
Right. But here's the kicker. Here's the kicker, and something that, you know, it takes, I guess, my perspective or someone like myself to give it is the players and the Players Association are the ones who wanted this type of offseason. They wanted less hitting. They wanted more time off. They wanted a later start date and an earlier summer. So
yeah, you're 100%
right. It's not, I mean, the coaches didn't bargain this. The teams essentially didn't bargain, you know, and the head coach didn't. It was the owners and the NFL and the owners and the NFL Players Association, who represents 99.9% of the players that put on a helmet. And they changed it for, I would say, any player at this point right now that's in their fourth, they're going on their fourth season to their 15th season or 17th season, whatever it is. That's who they changed this for. I don't believe they took into account the sixth, seventh round draft picks and undrafted free agents every year trying to make a team, and or the development of their young stars. They put so much money and emphasis into the next guy, the next franchise player of all their 32 commodities, and yet they're working against them on them taking the field and playing at a level that they were drafted to play.
So why do you think, because you know, think about anything else in life. Yes, you get to take vacations where you're off for a period of time, but this is, right now, this is a massive business. And the success or failure in this business is determined by how efficient and productive you are on the field 16 Sundays a year, right? And yet there are massive rules in place to prevent players whose sole livelihood, by the way, depends on how good they are at their jobs, that mandates they are not able to get better at their jobs for certain periods of time with the coaches who they need to earn the trust of to get to play and therefore make the money.
Right, and I think when they have an opportunity to go back and fix this, which I believe they will, when is it 2019? I think they collect a bargaining agreement. The current expires, and they, again, will hopefully not lock out but go into negotiations on a new one. There is a happy medium. And I think what we saw was the time period, and I played in that time period, you know, out there in San Francisco when Mike Singletary would have 2 3-hour padded practices a day for the first 6 days of training camp, and there were 20 minutes in each practice twice a day, so 40 minutes a day, you were doing Nutcracker. And it was so you got to figure at that point, there were 90 players, 90 voices that were against what we were doing, but we had no control because your livelihood and your ability to make that football team was to follow the leadership or the mentorship or guidance of your head coach. Run through the wall. Where's the wall, coach? Do Nutcracker for 20 minutes, you know, twice a day for the first, you know, six practices. Line me up, coach. you would do it because if you went against him, you'd get cut. That affects your ability to make money. That affects your ability to make a football team. So you did it. And I think the happy medium is taking in situations like this where your young talent, your young talent, your hottest commodities, your future is being affected. Your bottom line, I think in some cases, is being affected because a fan base is so excited when you draft a player. We would love every first-round pick to have the opportunity to be in uniform starting for your franchise. Now, it doesn't happen for a multitude of reasons, but one of the reasons is they're just not ready. And I think as you dig into that article, the one thing that struck me the most was guys know where to be and where to line up, and they memorize the playbook. But there are so many nuances, you know, that you need extra individual time with these coaches, and you need on the field time with these coaches. And I think he shines a light on that back in the day, and this is the day that I played, is if you had a question, it was, hey coach, and the coach would say, and you'd ask that, he goes, meet me on the field 30 minutes before practice. And then when practice was over, you'd stay after and you'd walk through it again, or you'd have a new question. So you're spending 2.5 on the field and an extra hour, 30 minutes before, 30 minutes after to get that coaching. And I think now guys are out there when practice the horn blows, and guys are off when the horn blows as well. And that's why you and I do such a great job while we try to be at practice and highlight those who are out there doing the extra, running the gassers, working with Al Saunders, working with, you know, with Kirby Wilson on protection and things like that. Those are the guys that are trying to bridge the gap to play faster. This CBA takes that away from them. So yes. The happy medium is coaches want more time, but more time doesn't mean more time running through brick walls. It means more time coaching, nurturing, growing in the classroom, you know, watching film, walking through things, but and also then being able to have the time to go out and practice it.
We are paying RG3 over $7 million this year. We're paying Josh McCown over $5 million this year. We just drafted Cody Kessler in the third round. And yet, all we're trying to do is get them ready to play on Sundays in the fall. And from the period where minicamp ended until training camp, our coaches can't have contact with them. And that's what players wanted. And so from a player standpoint, is it because they didn't want things to be – like, I think if a player wants to be with a coach and a coach wants to be with a player, it should be able to happen.
But here's the thing. There are obsessive compulsive coaches, just like there are obsessive compulsive players that can't get out of the weight room, even when, you know, and never go on vacation, or so addicted to their craft, because – the same way it's the player's livelihood, it also is the coach's. And you are a direct result of your group.
Yeah.
So coaches who text you, call you, push you hard, and are unrelenting in their personal life, they throw that up on the players, and the players want to push back. And if enough of them do that, and I gave you, you know, 90 sure. individuals in San Francisco in 2009 that wanted to push back, that's just one example. How many other places around the league does that happen? And so it's situations like this brought to the forefront, and the right minds, that's the NFLPA and the NFL, their owners and their head coaches, turning and tweaking and putting out guidelines for coaches to follow of what's just enough and what's too much. Because I think the too much was taken for when you could have when it was your profession, and you could do and mold those guys all day long, coaches would take it. They take every minute they can. And they don't really know, especially for some young coaches, what is too much.
Right, so, but to me, it's like these guys are making a lot of money, and they want to make a lot of money, and they want to be successful, and teams want to be successful. You're not really asking. So let's say the season ends in January, right? They didn't come back to even start getting into stuff until when?
Middle of April.
Middle of April. Early to middle of April. Part is just conditioning.
Which formerly used to be, we were a month sooner. So the middle of March is when we originally would have come back.
Right. So it wouldn't even, so you get April. So you'd at least have a few months off there, like months off.
Yeah.
I don't understand why you need this time off in the summer when you could be getting better at your craft. Do you think players were worried that if they turn into something voluntary, like you can be with the coach if you want to be, it's not mandatory that then the guys who do it get better looks from the
right.
coach?
And what doesn't make sense to me is you're doing less and you're now getting even more time off. Whereas if we were pushing you through the ringer, you have earned that more time off. So you're doing less and you're getting even more time. It doesn't make any sense. And I think what that article pointed out and what you and I, it's all counterproductive. It really is. And I think it's just a matter of time before it affects the bottom line of multiple premium high-end franchises to the where it affects their season and it affects their dollar and then in turn affects the NFL's dollar for them to make that change.
I believe that the one thing that they need to do, and I think, you know, I don't know if the Browns are still doing it. I can try to find out, but I know they were in the past, was that 3D where they could immerse the quarterback in the world so he could actually go through the reps and go through progressions and see a real defense as though he's really looking at it. Because that's the only thing you can do. Now, you can go out and you can do 7-on-7s, and I know you've got your playbook and you maybe can get your receivers together, but you're not going to see the real looks that you're going to see from defenses when you're out there with just a bunch of guys like messing around.
No, but I mean, you can, and I know guys do. When they go home, they recruit former teammates of theirs, maybe go out and throw with some of the high school kids. You see, I mean, at the end of Brett Favre's career, you recall, you know, he'd go back to Mississippi and he'd be throwing. That's when people thought he's coming back. You know, is he going to be with the Jets, the Vikings? Even after his retirement from Green Bay, he was out throwing with the local high school, and it was his best way while being home and being away from the NFL game to replicate some of the looks. Even though it's not happening as fast, it's putting bodies in those windows and him throwing to those windows.
Right.
It's his best way.
So you said something interesting, and Scott at home tweeted us about it. He said, there are some players who obsess and never take vacations, end quote. He said, you know what they call those guys? Champions. The average NFL career is how long? 3 years?
It's shade under 4.
Okay. Why do they need to have vacations? Like, 9 months of dedicated focus to football, which is your livelihood, is that – and it seems to me that that's a good gig. I mean, people want to be teachers so they can get that summer vacation.
I agree. And this is an argument that, you know, I'm not even really truly taking aside, because when I was in it, if I had to be somewhere and it was mandated by the organization or the coaches, I was there. I didn't go, oh, I got to go to work again, or, oh, we're going to have a camp one more week. It's my job to be there, and I'm going to go do it. And I mean, I know there are guys, there are personalities in a locker room that sometimes can steam and kind of like roll into the minds of some young players to where, oh my God, they're asking us to do so much. No, they're just asking you to do your job.
Right.
That's it. Show up, work hard, go home. Show up, work hard, go home. And then you'll be given a break.
So is the players concerned that they would just be burned out, or do they, because I think at the end of, I think there's a balance, and I think that the NFL, if you look at the teams, and it's interesting, the teams that are good are the ones that continuity is important, because when you have less time to install and teach and get accustomed to systems, those teams have a little bit of an advantage in this CBA.
Those nuances that I talked about don't have to be relearned.
Right.
They have to, you know, and I think for a young player, you can not only take your rep and screw it up and learn the nuances from the coaches, but then watch the players that have played under this coordinator or this head coach his entire career or majority of his career, and you can watch and see how those veterans do those things so that when you have that next opportunity, you do those same things. You take it on very quickly. But and I mean, we're guilty of it here, you know, in Cleveland, because of the turnover we've had at head coach. You know, it's relearning, and you never make any headway.
And on the offensive side, not even the head coaches, we've had a different coordinator every year.
Correct.
We haven't had the same offensive coordinator 2 years in a row.
Right.
And I think that is, especially you've got veteran quarterbacks trying to learn new systems again. You've got rookies trying to learn the system. That's why I think it's a tough thing. And in the article, Matt Bowen, who did a great job, and I highly recommend it, and I know that, you know, Gibbs tweeted out the link. So he's talking about Jameis Winston in his first 4 weeks, 7 interceptions and a 35 QBR, because he just wasn't ready. He hadn't seen enough of the looks in practice. He wasn't ready. And then as the season went on, he was much better in the
second
half of the
year. Look what we did last year to Marcus Mariota.
Destroyed him.
I mean, a team that couldn't sack anybody had 7 sacks against this guy, correct?
Because he doesn't know. And that one of the quotes in here, somebody says, I hope we get Jared Goff on our schedule, you know, early in the year, because he's not going to be ready for the complex nature of the National Football League. And I think that's something very interesting. We're going to have, when we come back, a discussion with our guy, Mr. John Moon Mullen. I wonder if he's related to Jackie Moon. Comcast Sportsnet, CSN, Chicago.com to talk about, of course, Rex Ryan and the Bills. Buddy Ryan, the passing of Buddy Ryan. Rex Ryan just releasing a statement through the Bills PR, and he says, on behalf of the entire Ryan family, we want to take this opportunity to thank everyone for their sympathies, prayers, and warm thoughts with the passing of my dad. He was many things to many people: outstanding coach, mentor, fierce competitor, father figure, faithful friend, and the list goes on. But to me and my brothers, Rob and Jim, he was so much more. He was everything you want in a dad: tough when he had to be, compassionate when he didn't necessarily expect it, and a loving teacher and confidant who cherished his family. He truly was our hero. He had a lot more to say there, and you can get that from the Bills official spot there. And I retweeted it as well, the statement from Rex Ryan about the passing of his father, Buddy Ryan. When we come back, John Moon Mullen is going to give us his take on Buddy Ryan, that amazing 85 defense and the 85 Bears when we come back.
You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. There will be no moon on this show today,
tomorrow,
folks. John Moon Mullen saying mañana.
When NBC calls and says they need you, it kind of trumps the Browns Daily radio show.
I mean, that's an absurd stance to take.
Just saying.
As the producer of CBD, Jason Gibbs.
That's the impression that I got. It's okay. He'll be on tomorrow with us.
All right. So we'll
tomorrow's a much better day. It sounds like John is running in about a million different directions. The guy's been covering the team since like 84, 85, so kind of knows Buddy Ryan a little bit.
Okay. All right. We'll cut him some slack.
Yeah. So I apologize. Blame this one on me.
No. But you said you wanted to talk about something going on.
Would you go to the Olympics in Rio?
No.
Absolutely not.
God, no. No.
They're swimming in diseased waters.
Hold on. I think it was Yahoo.com has, you know, some of their headlines, and it was a sign almost like being held up by picketers, which doesn't make sense, but a sign that says "Welcome to Hell" in bold letters, and it says firemen and police are not paid and you are not safe. So that's the governing body, I guess, while in Rio. So you can't drink the water. You can't swim in the water. Did you see that? Like, I think one of our sports teams that competes in the waters there are wearing like micro antibiotic suits.
They have to.
Like while they're wetsuits. It's like a new thing.
Yes. And the Zika virus, Jason Day today pulled out of the Olympics, citing the fear of the Zika virus. Rio de Janeiro's acting governor said today, the Olympics could be, and I quote, a big failure. He said, I'm optimistic about the games.
That's not what you want to hear, like
30 days out. I'm optimistic, but I have to show the reality. We can make a great Olympics, but if some steps aren't taken, it can be a big failure. There's a budget shortfall that Brazil's facing. They're dealing with concerns about the Zika virus. There's a doping scandal in Brazil's only testing lab, which was suspended. There's high crime, political upheaval involving the country's highest figures. It is crazy. The police fleet runs the risk of stopping. We managed to stretch those finances and will only last until the end of the week. The state's police officers have not been paid for overtime work for more than 6 months.
You know what's going to be interesting? How many athletes show up for the opening ceremonies, which is the big deal, and then usually they march in, but they also march in for the closing ceremonies. I would imagine that athletes will, if they do go, they're not just going to go for, you know, their event, but they're going to go in advance to get used to the time change and so on and so forth in the climate for opening ceremonies. But the second they are eliminated, or the second that their team, they win their medal, they are back in their governing country, and they are not going to stay there any longer than they have to.
The crazy thing about this is the metro's not completed. They might not have the proper security. The city of Rio, not the state, is responsible for the Olympics. They're trying to finish their goal is to finish the metro project 4 days before the Olympics begin. That's not a good goal. Their state government declared
long,
a state of emergency
earlier
this month.
How long has it been
month?
Since they got designated the site? This has got, 8 years?
Something along those lines. 6 to 8 years. And by the way, didn't they have the World Cup last year?
They've got the recession. Was it last year?
Wasn't the World Cup last year?
It was in Brazil. I don't know if it was last year or 2 years ago.
It was 2 years ago.
Because I think it's in between the Olympics.
I think you're right.
How did they not have, like, they had a head start because of the World Cup?
Bro, it's not good. I would not go. I don't think.
Hell no.
Why would you go? As a fan, why would you go?
If I'm a family member, I might not go.
2014 was the World Cup.
Yeah.
That was in Rio. My buddy, I had friends that went there, and they said it was amazing. They said it was awesome. They were there for like 3 weeks. And now it's like it's all gone to hell in a handbasket.
Wait, hold on, let alone that a fly can randomly land on you, or a mosquito, and bite you, and you can get Zika. So everything you just named, and a mosquito, which you can't control, can land on you, bite you, and transfer something
to you.
Yet
another reason I don't need Kyrie Irving.
100 prominent doctors and professors recently wrote an open letter to the World Health Organization urging that the Olympics be moved or postponed in the name of public health. It's unprecedented, somebody said, of the calls to stop the games, but there have been major sports events that have been moved because of concerns of health. In fact, the Women's World Cup in 2002 was moved from China over fears about the swine flu virus. So Zika is not a big deal. The problem is if you get a woman pregnant within 6 months, if you have Zika symptoms, it leads to that microcephalia in their head, which is a horrible thing for the babies, and it is a big, big, big problem. I mean, this is, I think it's a disaster.
I don't need people bringing that back.
No. Then you have the doping where the only lab in Brazil that they were using for this has been suspended because they were cheating, basically. And now you've got the Zika virus. They might not have police.
If that's not an ISIS hotspot, I don't know what is.
It's like the purge.
You think that they're gonna go after the Olympics?
I hope not. I mean, you would hope not. But if you don't have any security, I mean, I find it hard to believe they're going to attack a high, you know, where there is actual security. Because I'm sure they're going to take the proper steps. But you never know. I mean, those people are crazy. I have no idea.
And if people aren't paid, it's a totally different story altogether. Very, very, I think it's very scary. And if I would agree with Jason Day. Like, it's the goal of winning a gold medal is great, but he's a golfer. He probably could do it in 4 years again if he wanted to.
Yeah, somewhere that's a lot less of an issue.
It's amazing the politics that go into picking these places, and then all of a sudden it looks like it could potentially just fall right on its face, you know? That's a very interesting scenario. Of things that have happened there for Rio, and they're calling it the perfect storm, which, if you saw that movie, not a good thing for people on that ship to be in the perfect storm.
No.
It's the perfect storm.
It's a hell of a wave.
One hell of a wave. 216-578-0850, 216-578-0850. And, you know, Tribe is rolling. Browns are off for a while.
Are you guys going to see the Tribe?
I plan on taking in a game sometime in July.
Yeah, I will at some point. I've been to one already this year.
See, it doesn't have that. Just hearing you guys right there, and I'm not saying negative things, but like just the way you take the approach. Yeah, I'll go see a game.
Well, mind you, it's still baseball.
Yeah, no, but I mean that's what I'm saying. Like, if it was the Cavs, you'd be like, oh, I'm going to go see this game. We're going to go see this opponent. We're going to go do this. Indians are like, yeah, we're going to go. Like, I just feel like that's the attitude of the whole city. I'm not saying you guys in general, because I feel the same way. I'm like, yeah, I'll get to a game.
Do the Nationals, if the Nationals come to town, it may be the one team off the top of my head that I would put on my calendar for me to go see Bryce Harper. Or I know Strasburg's hurt, but what's his, Max Scherzer, the other ace. Pick a day where he's pitching in the rotation. See Bryce Harper. He'll probably sit out that day by my luck. But that's, I mean, again, that's what I'm. That's where we're at, though, in baseball.
It's just because it's baseball. But I'd go and, you know, go out in that right field bar. That place is pretty cool.
That place is pretty sweet.
Yeah.
I just throw it out there. Washington comes to town July 26th and 27th.
That's right before training camp.
Yeah, I might have to do that.
Yeah, go. To me, it's more about going and being outside and taking in, you know, the game and
I'm
having
going to
fun
a,
and getting some drinks.
On my trip, I think the 7th we're going, to do a Red Sox game when in Boston.
Oh, Fenway?
Fenway.
Nice.
I've never been.
Neither have
I had Jim Donovan and I talked about it off air yesterday, just, you know, making a trip back to, you know, his home. So we're doing duck boat tour, we're doing children's museum, aquarium, and a Red Sox game. Those are the four things guaranteed on the docket.
That'll be very cool.
Yes.
You guys are both off next week. Where are you going to be next week?
I will be in, we are flying up to Presque Isle, Maine. It's basically 20 minutes from the Canadian border,
yes,
where Vanessa's father now resides. So we're going to go there, do 3 or 4 days through the holiday. Then we're going to go down to Bar Harbor, which is Acadia National Park,
yeah,
right
up,
on the coast of Maine.
Deep.
We are deep. So it's like 3.5 down to Bar Harbor, then another 3.5 or 4 down to Boston.
Don't they call it Bahaba?
Bahaba. That's the same thing Jim Donovan said yesterday, Bahaba. And then into Boston. So I'm excited for the whole trip. It's going to be a lot of relaxation just to unplug when you're that, you know, that far north. And then Bar Harbor is going to be, you know, the sightseeing, whale watching, and then, you know, getting back down in the city and just exploring, you know, one of the great cities, very historical cities in our great land.
Dress warm.
I actually woke up this morning, and the first thing I did this morning was, you know, look at the forecasts for, I mean, 70s and then 80s down into Boston. So,
yeah, it gets much warmer the further south you get. But, yeah, there were some nights where it was pretty darn cold in Maine, the back-to-back summers we went up there. Gets a little chilly. That's all right.
I got my birthday on. I think it's Monday. Is Monday the 4th?
Yes.
Yes.
So I got my birthday on Monday. Tuesday, I'm going to take my kids to a water park because they've been wanting to do that. So I think we'll go do a little water park. And then Wednesday, I go out California way to attend a wedding and then see Vince Condi, friend of the show.
Very nice. I was going to say, if you had the time, you should go to Columbus and go to their water park.
Which one?
The Columbus Zoo.
Okay.
Oh God, what the hell's the name of it? Let me look it up.
I mean, I do have the time. I could do that.
I'm telling you.
I like the one in Aurora, Wildwater Kingdom. Those three slides and the tubes at the top are as good as it gets, and I love a good water slide.
Dude.
I love a good water slide. Love.
If you guys have not taken your kids yet, I highly recommend go to Zambezi Bay.
I feel like you've said this before.
Yeah.
Where is it?
We take our kids. It's connected to the Columbus Zoo.
Okay.
Zambezi Bay. It's got some of the best water slides I have ever, ever been on. Spectacular runs.
All right. Have you been to Wildwater Kingdom in Aurora?
I have not been there.
Okay. I mean, I'm telling you, it's strong, quite strong. I'd put the three water slides they have in their top tubes against any water slide I've ever been on in my life.
Really?
They're the highest and fastest in the state.
I like it.
And they've got that.
I see that.
I see the funnel. They've got that funnel one. I see that. Yeah, you got to try it out. It's just right in Aurora. It's not that far.
Heck no.
Yeah. By the way, Bob in Millersburg says, I don't think I could handle the children's museum. I'm kind of creeped out by antique children. Da-ding-tsh.
Da-ding-tsh. Step up your game, Bob.
Bobby!
Step it up.
There were some pretty troubling children in the last Game of Thrones episode, by the way. You guys need to watch it so we could talk about it. It'd be great. We could have done a whole show today. We could have done a better version of After the Thrones. After the Thrones is this new show they have where, like, these two guys.
Yeah, I don't watch that either.
I enjoyed reading him, Andy Greenwald, but on TV, I don't enjoy him as much. And I feel like we could do a way better version of that show.
I want to see the new show called Stagehands coming to Showtime. You seen that?
Stagehands? Is that Roadies?
Or Roadies, sorry.
With, like, MGK?
Yes.
Yeah, it looks sweet.
It does look pretty sweet. I saw the trailer for that.
Yeah. All right, when we come back, we're going to wrap things up here on a blissful Tuesday of CBD. Zagura, Wilhelm, Gibbs, if you want to call, now is your last chance. 216-578-0850. We'll be back with more after this.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
I'm fired up. Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. We're wrapping it up with our first caller of the day, and he wants to talk Game of Thrones, Sam in Akron. Let's go. No spoilers. Hey. If you haven't seen the finale and you're planning on watching it, don't listen. Go ahead, Sam.
Hey, Nathan, man, I just want to say as I was sitting on my medicine ball doing curls, I had. Now I'm just kidding, Mr. Wilhelm.
That was good. That was good.
We need beast like Wilhelm out there. You know,
exactly. We all want to be beast like Wilhelm.
You know, yeah. That's why I'm lazy and out of shape. You know, I just root for the teams. I watch them on TV. But anyway, man, most unbelievable episode ever.
I agree.
On TV.
I can't believe they died.
You don't even know who died.
That person.
How many people died? Go to the scorecard. Do you read the scorecard on SB Nation? If you don't, you should. It's a great Game of Thrones recap. But there are hundreds of deaths in this episode.
Yeah, I know. It was amazing.
Don't even listen to Wilhelm. Sam, you and I will have a conversation. What did you think of like the way
Could you
that
believe
they
how
used...
he died, though?
Stop it. What did you think of like the music, the way they shot it? And then, of course, Cersei is just a beast.
Oh, Cersei's I thought Manziel was kind of on the dark side there a little bit, man. I tell you what, Cersei is no joke, you know. She's just taking over the whole kingdom, and, you know, it's leading up to I think they only have 2 seasons left.
I know.
Cersei dies.
Shortened seasons.
You don't know that.
Opening of next year's season.
No, she won't.
Yes, she will.
She'll die later than that, but she will. Anyway, Sam, appreciate the call. I liked it. Why do you have to ruin that was a special moment for me.
I wasn't ruining anything. I was playing in it. I was playing in the world, man. Love it. Where's my helmet? My sword.
You're such a hater.
I'm not. I'm an
Thank
appreciator.
You. No. Don't
no,
hate.
You are not.
Appreciate.
Well, what TV show would you like to talk about?
I got some aluminum foil and cardboard and a Sharpie marker. I'm going to make a W shield in honor of Game of Thrones.
Nice. House Wilhelm.
Yes.
What's going to be like the motto of your house?
Anything goes.
Anything goes? All right.
What's your?
He said, "What's your top TV show?"
Yeah, What do you want to talk about, Wilhelm? You don't like it when Zagura.
I don't watch television. I watch television late at night, and it's like mindless television. And it just happens to be I sit next to my wife, and we watch television together.
What do you watch?
Will you text Aaron Rodgers and find out what he thinks about his brother being on The Bachelorette?
I will.
The guy's
that's
like,
a great question.
We do
guy's
watch
like
that.
Looking like a goof.
He's still there, isn't he?
He's still there.
Okay.
They're like
Must not be that goofy.
I've watched one episode of it, and I was like totally – I was disgusted with the behavior of these guys acting like little children.
I know.
Like, this guy – oh, she gave – there's one – I saw one episode in – I think it was maybe last week's, and this guy got a rose, and she's like, I want you to have this so you, like, feel secure. So, like, he knew he was in with her. And then,
these
guys are like, oh, you're so insecure, you need a rose? Like, dude, she gave him the rose. He didn't make her give him the rose. She gave him the rose.
Dude,
get over it.
There is nothing on television. There's not one show, not a sport on television that I have to be home to watch or make sure that it's DVR'd or my life can't go on. Nothing.
What about your wife?
Game of Thrones.
She goes through, she has her stuff. She has her Housewives. She has her Bachelor, Bachelorette. We used to be Dancing with the Stars. We're not anymore. And Kardashians. But again, it's mindless. Our day is done at like sometimes. Like, I think last night we started at like 11:05. And we watched an hour of television. But that's our time. That's how we do it.
Yeah,
we go all day.
I don't watch. Like, I didn't turn the TV on at all yesterday. I don't watch TV every day. But I have to watch Game of Thrones. The other show that I'd recommend that maybe you could get into, it's not fantasy and it's in its second season. I don't know if you've seen it. It's Bloodline on Netflix.
Heard of it. Haven't seen it.
Real good. It's the main character is the coach from Friday Night Lights. It's about a family down in Florida and there's murder. It's crazy. But it's like it's very well done. That's why I would give that show a recommendation as well. All right. That's going to do it for us on an eclectic Tuesday, as G.I. George has named it.
1,000 JR shirts sold in 24 hours.
1,000 shirts. Was one of those sold to my Mo Pedman? The Duncan Dutchman, the Slammin' Swede?
That one's still on back order.
I wonder if they could just, maybe they'll put like 2 together.
He has zipper extensions from his armpit to the waistline.
Yes.
On the what that would be the inseam. Right?
Yes. Andrew Lutz, by the way, said Talking Thrones on Browns Daily. So awesome. That's right. We'll talk more Thrones. I'll talk about Thrones
all day
long.
I'll play all day.
Let's
I'll get my
no,
shield.
No, we're going to send you out of here.
I'm going to Costco.
House Wilhelm's going to be ejected.
I'm going to get a case. I'm going to buy a huge thing of tinfoil. I'll make a sword.
My middle name is Dragomir. I mean, how could I not like Game of Thrones? That should be like a Game of Thrones character, Dragomir.
Learn something new every day.
There you go. You didn't know that?
No.
Oh, there you go. All right, that'll do it for us. Stay tuned for the Golden Boys. For Jason Gibbs, Matt Wilhelm, I'm Nathan Zagura. Say thanks for listening to Cleveland Browns Daily.
On ESPN 850 WKNR.
You've been listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, a production of the Cleveland Browns and ESPN 850 WKNR.